Hey, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey, what is that? What do you have there? Is that a bottle of water? You can't bring that in here. You're not allowed to bring in outside food or drink. No, you're not. Get out of here. You can't do that.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. It's you, me, and other people. Together, we make a lot of fun happen. This is not an example of that. Got some interesting guests on the program today, some interesting topics. Halfway through the show, we're all going to take our pants off and have a party. It's going to be fun. So what's new with you? I do still feel like I'm only talking about myself and I don't include you in the conversation, although there's no way that you could possibly be a part of this. So let's just leave it at that. Well, now the full term of a pregnancy is a length of time that I have not gone on Facebook. I'm going to be honest with you about something, and I'm not honest with you about anything usually. I love it when people, when they tell you something, and but they preface it by saying that they're not going to lie to you, therefore intimating that everything else they say without that preface is a total lie. It doesn't help your case when you say that. Yeah, do you think he took the money? Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I've seen him take money before. Oh, you're not going to lie to me now. Oh, okay. Well, that's different. People don't even understand what they're saying half the time. We just say expressions and phrases that everybody says, and we don't know what we're talking about. I have a friend. I don't have a friend. I have someone I know who keeps saying, you know what I'm 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 saying. And I wish I could just once say, no, I don't know what you're saying. Why don't you express yourself better? Then I'd know what you were saying. You know what I'm saying? Unbelievable. So it's been 9 months, full-term baby, since I've been on Facebook. My birthday was last Saturday. No. Too late now. My birthday was last Saturday. I don't celebrate birthdays anymore. As a matter of fact, I shun them. I can't stand birthdays. They are an in-your-face reminder of how old you are, and I don't think age should make a difference at all. I mean, I don't. If I'm talking to like a 24-year-old, I don't say in the middle of the conversation, oh, wait a minute, you're only 24? I can't talk to you. It makes no difference at all. If you're 50 years old and a 24-year-old wants to have sex with you, who are you to deny them? Have the sex. Within certain parameters and with certain medications. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Age should make no difference. So any attempt to celebrate an age is absolutely ridiculous. I've talked about this before, as I have about everything. 16, have some parties. Good times. 21 years old? Oh my God, go to a bar, get shit-faced, and realize just how bad alcohol can be if you don't know how to regulate it. 25. Okay, party. Yeah, you can still go to Vegas and do things with the guys or the girls. 30. 30, we start to get into a shaky territory. Oh my God, I'm 30. Where is my life? I'm nowhere. I'm not where I want to be. I'm 30. I'm an adult. I don't have children. That makes you sad. I do have children. That makes you even sadder. 30 is like a reassessment of your youth. 35, don't even bother talking to me. 40, no. That's when everybody starts telling you, oh, don't worry about it. 40 is still young. It's not. It's 40. When you get into the 50s and 60s, you just don't talk about it. The next time you celebrate your birthday is when you're 95, when everybody says, congratulations, you're still breathing. Oh my God, celebration? What? No, no. That's when you start making plans. Birthdays just suck. Now, I know some people, and they're probably listening, who say, I love birthdays. I cherish birthdays. When I have a birthday, I celebrate all week. Well, that's nice. Enjoy. I'm not going to stop you. Don't look for me to help in your foolish little games. So I did what a lot of people do on their birthdays. I sat in a corner and cried. Now went out to dinner, went to a show. You know, but I do that even if it's not my birthday, so it's not a real big deal. But the one thing I didn't do is I didn't go to Facebook. Now, I at the inception of Facebook, when I got involved, I have 4 Facebook pages. I'm not supposed to, but I do. And I know that there are birthday greetings there. What else is there to do on your birthday but just compile a list of the people that recognize that you are still there? They didn't remember your birthday. They were told to do it by the Facebook people. It pops up when you're a Facebook friend. It pops up. This is Consuelo's birthday. I don't know who Consuelo is, but I guess I'll send Consuelo a little happy birthday note. Consuelo, congratulations on your birthday. I don't know who the fuck you are, but good for you. What an achievement. If people went onto my Facebook page and pages and said happy birthday, thank you very much. I'm not into it, man, but I do appreciate your effort of clicking somewhere. Happy birthday. They don't even know. They're told. Remember, it's Ron's birthday. Oh, shit. Is he still alive? It's just, Ron, have a happy birthday. Ooh, that is so deep. Thank you very much. Have one? Thank you. Thank you. Now I can have a happy birthday now that you have deemed it upon me. It's like it's an achievement. Hey, you're a year older. Good for you. Good job. What did I do? What did I do to earn these accolades? Nothing. I earned nothing for these accolades. So yesterday I went on Facebook page, I must admit, but only to see how many birthday achievements I had received. Because there's something inside of me, and there isn't all of us. If you have a Facebook page, it's your birthday, you can't help but not go there just to feel the love of people you don't really know at all. It's you know what? It was not satisfactory. There are people I haven't heard from in a year since my last Facebook birthday. And there they are. Happy birthday, Ron. Oh, thank you. Oh, happy birthday. Oh my God, you've rattled my soul. Thank you. Oh my God. Oh my God, you actually said something to me after a year because Facebook told you to. Oh, that is so lovely. So all it did was depress me. For those of you that did, thank you so much. There were a lot of them, and I appreciate it. It's only because I do shows. Otherwise, you know, there'd maybe be three of them. Thank you very much. But at the same time, oh, next time, save your electricity. I assume that your computer is on batteries and you have to charge it or it's plugged into a wall. Save your electricity next time. Maybe next year, huh? Hey, let's get together. That's the other thing. People you haven't heard from in a year, those that really, you know, they text you. They text you. Oh, they don't call you. That would be a conversation. That would be ridiculous. They text you something, you know, which is fine because it's I don't have to use my 10-foot pole. Texting is, I like texting, to be honest with you. Say what's on your mind and get the hell off of my things. Just thank you very much. Thank you. Cynical asshole I am, right? Ron, happy birthday. We've got to grab lunch together. And I don't respond. I mean, like, you say that every year. We never eat lunch. I mean, I eat lunch, just not with you. I mean, I have no reason to eat lunch with you. Yes, I eat lunch. I assume you eat lunch. Us eating lunch together, what's the point? I watch you chew your food. You watch me chew my food. We regurgitate it. What's the point? Why? I'm just going to sit there and watch you eat. And it's just stupid. No soup then. No soup because that's sloppy. That's sloppy. I'm not having lunch with you. I'm not having any meals with you. I don't know who the hell you are. Hey, Ron, we got to grab lunch sometime. Oh, that's so nice. Let's grab the lunch. Let's grab it quickly so we don't take up a lot of each other's time and pain. Let's just grab it, quickly eat it, and then get the hell out of here. I don't understand anything. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're from another planet and you're visiting Earth for a period of time and you're trying to go back to your planet to explain what Earth is like? And there's just no words to describe it. It's just a shithole. That's what Trump calls many countries on this particular planet. I guess I get that under the circumstances. How does an alien, not the ones from Mexico, how does an alien from another planet describe this one?
Hey, here's the deal. We went to this place called Earth. It's a beautiful place. They have, somehow the atmosphere is blue. I don't know how they pull that off. But it's a beautiful planet. And then when you go walking around, they actually spend all day destroying it. Yeah, they do. They do. They destroy their own planet. And they don't have the intelligence to get off of the planet. So they're destroying the only place that they can exist in. They are so stupid. And some of them actually walk around like they're president, and they actually elect the largest asshole they can find to further destroy themselves. They have like social networks that screw everybody up. It's an amazingly beautiful place, full of idiots, unbridled idiots walking around like unintelligent zombies. I'm inferring that zombies are more intelligent than those people on the planet. It's incredible, man. They invent stuff that ruins their own planet. They eat stuff that kills them quicker than they have to be killed. It's amazing down there. I'm not going back. Again, nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there because eventually you won't be able to. Crazy people from Earth. Earthlings. Ugh. Yucky. Don't touch the Earthlings. Half of them don't shower, especially the ones in Europe. It's crazy, man. Who has a planet like that? Who comes up with a planet like that? It's crazy. Those people are nuts. What the hell's wrong with them?
They're just a bunch of idiots.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke.
Well, this is interesting, I think, okay? This is interesting, I think. We're going to speak to an attorney now. Don't run away. Come back. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Oh, don't run away. No, come back. Hey, wait a minute. Is that a bottle of water you brought in here? Didn't we talk about this at the top of the show? Get that thing out of here. I'm going to talk to an attorney who says that if you purchased a car in the 90s, I think it is, all the way through like now, you might become a part of a class action lawsuit that can pay $100 back to you or something because you've been scammed by an auto parts company. I think I don't know. I haven't had the interview yet. So let's speak to this person right now.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Jenna. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. Jenna Farley joins us now. She's a consumer attorney, and we're talking about something that we wouldn't know about if we didn't speak to you. So this is good. There is a settlement case that most of us know nothing about. Tell us about that, first of all.
Of course, Ron. Yeah, so over the last 7 years, a bunch of lawyers have litigated these cases against auto parts manufacturers who allegedly engaged in price fixing of the parts that were ultimately placed in cars that were sold in the United States. And as part of that, the lawyers have recovered $1.2 billion in settlement funds that the American people can now see if they qualify to share in.
Over how long a period of time was this taking place?
So the cases have been going on for over 7 years now, and the period of time that it affected car purchases in the United States was between the years of 1990 and 2019. So if you bought or leased a new car during that period or bought replacement parts for your car, you might be eligible to share in the settlement fund.
Okay. All right. Let's face it. Everybody did. I mean, who didn't? How would we know if we were affected by this or not?
Yeah, so you might be eligible to qualify if you purchased a new car, at least one, or if you, while you were living in one of 30 states. And Massachusetts is one of the states that allows monetary recovery, as is New Hampshire and Vermont. And so you can find out more by going to www.autopartsclass.com.
All right. Would I have had to have kept a receipt?
Nope. You don't need any documentation at the time you file a claim. And it takes less than 5 minutes. So I encourage everyone to go and see if they qualify and file a claim.
Okay. What if you leased a car in that period of time?
Leasing a car qualifies.
It does. Wow.
That's right.
Okay. So everybody should do this, kind of, unless you're 10 years old. you probably are possibly involved here. And it's less than 5 minutes to do this little thing online?
Yep. You just go online. You can find all the information that you'd want online, and you can file a claim right there.
That's nuts. Wow. What kind of parts were involved when you're talking about the auto parts claim? I mean, was it every part? Was it certain companies, the auto parts companies that were doing this? I mean, how did this happen?
Yeah, well, the settlements are with over 73 different auto parts manufacturers, but the parts are, you know, what you'd expect to find in a vehicle. Exhaust systems, air conditioning systems, all kinds of things. But automotive hoses.
But you would have had to have paid for that at some point. In other words, if it's covered under warranty and all that, that still qualifies?
Well, so basically the allegations are that because of this price fixing, every American who bought a car that was affected during the period paid too much for their car.
I see.
And so this is our way of trying to obtain funds and recovering on behalf of the American people.
What is the financial recovery? I mean, you told me the lump sum. What, do you know how that breaks down in general, like what minimums, maximums may have been in place?
Yeah, so every claimant should receive at least $100, and then they may receive more depending on how many cars they purchase and how many claims they file.
Oh, crap. This is beginning in 1990 all the way through, like, really recently. Wow, that's a long period of time. Is there a deadline to file?
There is. You need to file a claim by the end of this year, December 31st, 2019.
Okay.
But you shouldn't wait another second. It doesn't take very long at all, less than 5 minutes. Just go to www.autopartsclass.com.
Well, I guess that's all I need to know, I suppose. But it's everything. Autopartsclass.com. I hope that you can handle the number of people that are contacting that server.
We certainly can.
Okay. All right. Jenna, thank you so much for this information.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's fascinating. Well, check it out. Check out the website. I think it's safe to go to it. And I don't know. I don't know. I just present the information. I don't make it up. That's all. That's all I do.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all natural salt preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
Hello.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Grant, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm great. Grant Mobley joins us now. He's a diamond expert. Oh, get to know him. He's a graduate.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, pleasure. He's a graduate of the Gemologist Institute of America.
That's correct.
Got a lot of stuff going on there, Grant. All right. Well, this is the time of year where diamonds come into play for gifts, and it goes all the way through Valentine's Day. So it's like months and months involved here, but this is where the concentration takes place, in my mind. And
sure.
Most people, as you probably know, being an expert yourself, you probably know that most people don't know what the hell they're talking about when it comes to diamonds, and they look to an expert to explain this to them, and here you are.
That's true, and you know, I hope I can answer some questions. Today the consumer really has more choices than ever, and I think especially when it comes to buying a diamond.
Uh-huh.
And there's something now on the market that some retailers are carrying called lab-grown diamonds, and because this is on the market, we want to ensure that consumers know exactly what they're buying and make sure that they don't accidentally purchase a lab-grown diamond thinking that it's natural.
Yeah.
And this is important because natural diamonds and lab-grown diamonds are such completely different products. So this is why you really wouldn't want to make that mistake.
Okay. Now, lab-grown is not necessarily synthetic. It just is not the proper process.
Well, lab-grown is synthetic, technically, by definition.
Okay.
So what it isn't is a simulant. So a simulant is something like a CZ,
right,
or a moissanite. But a lab-grown diamond is what we call synthetic because they're actually synthesizing
the process.
Right. So and really what it is, simply, is lab-grown diamond is just a manufactured product, and it's made to look like a natural diamond. And while they may look really similar to the naked eye,
yes,
it's important that consumers know that they differ greatly when it comes to their origin and their value. And because lab-grown diamonds are produced in a matter of about 2 weeks, this really quick process creates distinct growth pattern and impurity differences that make them easily detectable 100% of the time with the right equipment.
Yeah. I'll tell you why that makes such a big difference. If you give somebody a diamond and they say, "Is this is a real diamond?" and you go, "No, it's lab-grown," Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you anyway. No, it makes a difference. Yeah, it does.
Well, it definitely does. And, you know, it definitely makes a difference to the person that's receiving it as a gift, but it also makes a difference in the long term because the value of the two products is so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, natural diamonds and lab-grown diamonds have totally different value propositions. Natural diamonds are inherently valuable because they're a finite product.
Yes.
And they also retain their value over time as stores of wealth and have even shown to grow in value, you know, over several decades. And whereas a lab-grown diamond holds no actual value, which is the case for any other industrial type of product, because it can be created in unlimited quantities at low cost. So what this means is that the price for lab-grown diamonds will continue to decline as technology improves and as production volumes grow. I like to say this is similar to buying a plasma TV 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah. Well, where would I go, Grant, if I wanted to embark upon a purchase like this? Again, the layperson really has no idea what to do or where to go.
Well, my number one advice is to shop at a reputable retail jeweler. Okay. And that's because a reputable retail jeweler is there to guide you through the process, and they're you know, they want to steer you in the right direction. You know, it's you know, retail jewelry is very much a family and personal business because you're kind of a part of the people's most important moments in their life. And so they really want to see you through that process and give you the best information possible. I would just warn consumers that if they're shopping online, they need to be a lot more careful. You know, look out, read all the fine print. Look out for misleading terms. So terms like cultured or man-made or above ground, these would mean that the diamond is definitely not natural. So look out for those terms. And also, if a deal is too good to be true, then it likely is.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't do that online. My God. I mean, what if you had the return? So how do you return something like that? It's all seeing and holding. That's kind of like the one item, that and pants. Are the two items you should never buy online. Anyway.
Yeah, and I always tell consumers, you know, you need to buy the diamond that speaks to you.
Yeah.
It's not all about what's on a piece of paper and what's on the certification. It's about what looks great and beautiful and what means something to you.
Grant, I would assume that in most reputable jewelry stores, a customer comes in and pretty much always says, I'd like to get a diamond, but I don't want to spend too much. They probably hear that from every customer's mouth.
Certainly. I grew up in retail jewelry, and it's definitely something you get. But the beautiful part about diamonds is because there's so many different colors and qualities, and you know, there's just a range of different types of diamonds out there in any price point. And so you don't have to buy something that's not natural just to fit into your budget.
Yeah.
There's so many natural options out there that will fit in any budget.
How do you know? Let's say it's a guy buying a ring or something or necklace for a female. How do you know what she's going to like?
Well, that's the beautiful part about diamonds too, because they're classic and they're timeless. So really, with diamond jewelry, it's pretty difficult to go wrong.
You know, you're
to be
right.
Honest.
As long as it's a real diamond, it's going to wow them.
If it's the real deal, it's going to wow them. Yeah. And hey, if it doesn't, and you're still shopping at a reputable jeweler, they will always, you know, take things back in exchange and things like that. They will always work with you with that.
Let me ask you something that's a little bit off the beaten path here because I'm confused about this. Some very reputable jewelry outfits, they offer a maintenance or insurance thing where if something goes wrong, they can take care of it. Is that something that's advisable?
It certainly can be. I mean, it's definitely good peace of mind. I recommend that everybody have insurance, you know, on their jewelry because regular homeowners insurance does not cover jewelry, which I think some consumers don't understand.
Really?
You do need to have a separate rider on your policy or separate insurance altogether. And it's relatively inexpensive insurance, and it's just good peace of mind. I also, you know, a lot of jewelers out there offer free lifetime warranties.
Uh-huh.
for, if something breaks on your ring or something needs to be repaired, they can do that, you know, for the lifetime of the piece for free. So I like to usually shop at places like that. Mm-hmm. But of course, some of the retailers, they might be a small upcharge, but I would say that generally it is worth spending that extra money. Okay. Just because it's a good peace of mind.
Wonderful. Anything else we should know?
You know, I definitely, you can go to our website, which is realisadiamond.com, for more information all about the diamond journey and to get some more details on the differentiation between lab-grown and natural, and hopefully answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Well, I don't think lab-grown comes from any kind of caves in Africa or anything.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, lab-grown diamonds are produced mostly in factories in China and India, the vast majority, whereas the majority of diamonds are found in either Siberia or Botswana, yeah. Australia, and Canada. Those are the most common places to find diamonds.
Okay. I think you said it all right there. All right. One more time, that website?
Is realisadiamond.com.
Beautiful. Grant, good information, and we appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it for today. This has been fun, right? Huh? I asked you a question. Thank you. It wasn't rhetorical. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Oh, I can't wait till then. I really can't. Will you join me? Will you come back again tomorrow? Anytime. This is a, you know... This is a thing where you can just click and it's there. So I'm here. You can hear us on all kinds of places there, platforms they call them. We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube, Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Podbay, just to name a few. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.